Thank you all for joining us today. When President Obama took office in January 2009, it was clear that we needed to do two things. First, we needed to stop the free fall of the economy and get it moving in the right direction again. As we remember all too well, when the President and Vice President were inaugurated, the economy was in the middle of the worst recession in a generation. Millions of hardworking men and women were losing their jobs. Home values and retirement accounts were virtually wiped out. We could not know where the bottom lay, and we had to do everything we could to make sure that we did not find out. Second, we needed to change how Washington does business. It was clear that we needed a government with more transparency and accountability if we wanted to be able to prevent the lapses that led to the financial crisis, and if we want a government that will help prepare the nation to compete in the world economy. To pull the economy back from the brink of a second Great Depression, the President signed into law the Recovery Act, a historic piece of legislation that we now know prevented the economy from sliding into a significant depression. What many do not know is how the Recovery Act was a model for government to be more transparent and accountable, and proof that we can do big things without big waste and abuse. This was due in large part to the tireless leadership of the Vice President. Because of his hard work and determination, and the on-the-ground leadership of Earl Devaney, the head of the Recovery and Accountability and Transparency Board, who is here today, the Recovery Act was implemented swiftly, effectively, and with remarkably low levels of waste, fraud, and abuse. OMB worked closely with the Vice President on this, and the work that he did on the Recovery Act was both a model and inspiration for what we can accomplish. Indeed, since the beginning of the administration, Jeff Zients and our team have been finding ways to cut waste, modernize government operations, and produce efficiencies wherever we can. They've done it by reducing the number of no-bid contracts, cutting outdated or wasteful programs, and getting rid of unused real estate. We've reformed the hiring process to get the best people into government service and use transparency to hold government agencies accountable for everything from IT spending to improper payments. Today, the President asked the Vice President to lead a stepped-up effort, a campaign to cut waste that will focus on spending and operations throughout the government and build on the efforts already underway. And I can think of no other person better to lead this initiative. With his deep knowledge of Washington and his even deeper connection to America's middle-class families, he will be the guardian that the taxpayers need. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Thanks, Jack. Folks, thank you very much, Jack, and thank you, Earl. And I want to say at the outset, whatever we and many of you in this room are the reason why we succeeded in eliminating, to the degree we did, waste, fraud, and abuse, I think the I credit the point guy in this is Earl Devaney. Without him having signed on early on, I don't think we could have accomplished what we did. You know, from the outset of the administration, the President has placed an overwhelming emphasis on the need to make government work better. You know, this is not today about, you know, this is not some great story about how we're going to balance the budget and we're going to end. It's about a simple proposition. The American people have lost confidence over the years in the ability of their government to deliver on what they promise. It's a pretty simple proposition. It's not the American people don't want to help the poor, or they don't want to make sure that we invest in the future. They doubt. They doubt whether or not last government, government before that, this government, when any government can actually do it well. So that's the underlying. I'm going to talk about some of the economic consequences of this. But the underlying rationale why, when the President and I ran, we wanted to make sure that we fundamentally began to change the way the government works. It was about regaining confidence, regaining the confidence of the American people that we knew how to husband their tax dollars. You know, to make government better, to make it more efficient, to change the way, literally, government does business. And look, it's not a single step. It's a process. But I want you to know we are absolutely, thoroughly, totally committed to it. The first major test of our commitment to change the way government does business was the Recovery Act. The Recovery Act was a significant piece of legislation by every measure, its size, its scope, its purpose. And at the outset, we decided not only were we going to do it well, God willing, it would be the first major example of what the President and I literally talked about during the campaign. I mean, in casual conversation about the lack of transparency in government, the lack of accountability. This was going to be the first major test of whether or not we can implement what we wanted to do when we ran for office in the first place, make it more accountable, literally have good government. And we wanted this Recovery Act and how we did it to be a standard by which we would judge all future programs. Now, at the time when I gathered every cabinet member in, if you remember Jack and Earl, and I told them that, they kind of looked at me like, whoa, wait a minute now, man. Here you, let's just worry about how we're going to deal with this significant piece of legislation. And you're already talking about making this a model for how we're going to deal with all future government spending programs. When the President asked me to oversee the implementation of the legislation, as I said, it was a little skepticism out there. And it wasn't just skepticism that was external, it was in the House, because the idea that we were going to do this and use this as an example was something that people thought was setting an awfully high bar for ourselves. But I was absolutely clear with the cabinet we have, every one of the cabinet members we have. I mean, they were new, they're energized, they wanted to change things, they were committed to this, they weren't afraid to taking a different course, they weren't afraid to try to break the mold of the way the government had worked before. And so when we'd have those meetings, we actually set out three specific goals of the front end of the Recovery Act. The first and foremost was to do what Jack talked about. We had fallen into this god-awful black hole, and how are we going to start to climb out of it? We were in the deepest recession, short of a depression, the country's ever seen. And so the first thing was to save or create jobs immediately, today. That was the first purpose of it. The second was to lay a foundation for longer-term prosperity in the areas of innovation and investment in education and infrastructure. We know they're all major pieces of what the future has to look like. So there were significant investments in the Recovery Act in those three areas. But there was this third standard that no one would have believed if we had announced it, when we did announce it, but no one paid much attention to it, and that was a new standard of transparency and accountability so that the taxpayers would know where their dollars were going and whether or not they're being spent wisely. I remember when I sat with Earl, he's heard me tell the story, and he's probably told it a number of times. We're sitting in my office. I said, Earl, I'm going to recommend you to head up the Recovery Board to the President of the United States. And I said, I'd like to ask you a favor. And he looked at me like, wait, I'm going to be kind of independent. We're not doing any favors here, Biden. And I said, no, here's the favor. I said, when you uncover any significant or not even significant waste or fraud in the implementation of this program, I want you to tell me. And he looked at me. I said, so I can announce it. I'll never forget what he said. He said, that's novel. That's novel. The whole purpose here was, again, to begin to regain the confidence of the American people that we meant what we said. And many of you remember there were a lot of predictions about how we were going to waste tens of billions of dollars. Here's one quote from the Washington Post, quote, we don't have the means to make sure that we don't blow through billions of dollars and give it to the wrong people. We're on track to lose billions, if not tens of billions, in waste, fraud, and abuse. And there was some reason for people to think that. It wasn't an outrageous notion. It wasn't some, you know, political hit. I mean, it was not an unreasonable thing to assume. To implement an act that was as big as this in 18 months with billions of dollars. And there was some truth also to the fact that we didn't have all the tools. We didn't have all the tools. And that's where Earl came in. You know, nothing that I've done before or anybody's tried to do has been as massive as this undertaking. It was gigantic. So the first thing we did was to get the toughest inspector general in the government. And that's not hyperbole. That's literally true. Literally true. And ask Earl Devaney to take it on. I asked him again to kind of put together the president. I love this. Keeps referring to me as a sheriff. No one messes with Joe. I wish they'd tell that to my wife and kids and grandkids. You know, so I asked Earl to form a posse, basically, and go out and get the women and men in his field who were the best at this to put together a way in which we could fundamentally do this differently. What Earl did was set up the Recovery Act Transparency Board. The Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board has literally shifted the paradigm. It has begun to change the culture. Not from what, by the way, is not a criticism, but up to now it's been fraud occurs, go find the person who committed the fraud. Go find the criminal. Go find the person who did the bad thing to the American taxpayers. Well, Earl and Jack and others had the notion that what we should do is we should be setting up mechanisms by which we would deter, not just detect, deter the fraud from ever occurring in the first place. You know, where once the focus was mainly on those who engage in fraud, now we were using sophisticated tools that were shining a very bright spotlight on the abusers that so they don't even try. And by the way, you know, what these guys did, they did something that would seem straightforward and simple, but it was just not, you wouldn't think of it ordinarily inside government. They went and spoke to guys at the FBI, the CIA, the Defense, Homeland Security, and said, how do you do it? What mechanisms that are constitutionally permissible are we able to put in place that can allow us to determine whether or not what we're, this check we're about to write to so-and-so enterprises to build, you know, 27 crosswalks, et cetera. How do we know? What would you be doing? I'll never forget going over it to the war room with Earl and his folks. It looked a little bit like, it looks a little like a war room. And if the press hadn't been there, you ought to go see it. I mean, there's all these television camera, I mean, excuse me, TV monitors, people sitting in front of it, all this input information going in. And they gave me an example. There was one guy who ended up having four, it turns out he was, I think it was four or five corporations that he had set up and advertising he had this great business enterprise going, and there were four different ones or five different ones. It turns out they were able to literally pinpoint using Google, showing on a map, this guy lived on a K in a key in Florida with his boat parked outside, and all five companies or four companies, all the money was going to that guy there, which raised a few alarms. The money never went. It never got there. It got prevented. But the generic point I want to make is this is the first time I'm aware of being in government as long as I have that in terms of direct government money going to state and local entities as well as to private contractors, that we've used this degree of sophistication. And it was new. And so, you know, the first thing we did out there, the first thing we did was to develop this incredible website, recovery.gov. Quarterly, the site gets updated with details from people who have recovery contracts and grants, and these people who have taxpayers' dollars, so that the American people can go on a website and find out who got the dollar, whether or not what they said, and a description of what they were doing and what the contract was for. And they could literally go, if I could keep this example of a crosswalk, they go down the crosswalk and see whether that was built, whether or not there's 10 guys standing around or no one there. I mean, people could act, they sort of became our, we created hundreds of thousands of IGs who were literally making contact, you know, and they'd know whether or not the road project we announced was actually being done, whether or not at 9th and Main, the thing we said was going to happen was actually happening. They could check out the construction site. And they also gave us all kinds of information came flowing in. Not only can the citizens see the details, but on every page of the website, they can hit a button and on the top right of the screen and report fraud, waste, and abuse from their perspective. They think this is, we think this is being wasted. We think this is a, or we think this project shouldn't be being built in the first place. And, you know, we know the American people could be some of our best watchdogs, and they, in fact, have been. They keep an eye on everything. And that's why it's not just us trying to prove that we're honest and we're being transparent, but it's also the way to help us, in fact, make sure there's not the waste and the fraud. The second thing we did, we took the postmodern technology available, as I indicated to you, and we used it in an unprecedented way that hasn't been used before in trying to follow on government ordinary government contracts that go out to state and local governments as well as to individuals. Earl and his team went and looked at what was going on, as I said, in the intelligence arena, in the Department of Defense. They looked around. They went to the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security. And the result was they actually put together a Recovery and Accountability Transparency Board, and they called it Recovery Operations Center, or the ROC. And you ought to go, again, the press ought to go take a look at the ROC. For those of you who haven't, I think you'll be surprised at how sophisticated this process is. So, look, folks, with all this work, going on as a consequence of trying to implement the Recovery Act, we found ourselves in a position where what we hoped for was beginning to happen. And by the way, the folks that are over there are people whose backgrounds are economics, mathematics, engineering, accounting, and we hired first-rate people to follow taxpayers' dollars. You hear about information sharing a lot, particularly between the FBI and the CIA. Well, we just applied that same line of thinking in the Recovery Act. And folks, it worked. For two-plus years of implementing the Act, with tens of thousands of individual projects and as well as taxpayers tending billions of dollars being paid out in these contracts, not only have we created jobs across the country, we also spurred growth in new and emerging industries. But we did it responsibly, we did it accountably, and with a level of transparency that never has been seen before, at least in modern federal government. Since we started the thing 2 years ago, we have more than 75,000 projects with more than 260,000 awards. That's Washington speak for saying the taxpayers gave — we collected taxes, they gave us their money, the federal government wrote a check and sent out a check to 260,000 individuals who were performing a function for the federal government or the state government. And that's a lot of transactions. So we asked the Recovery Board to tell us how many dollars are involved in cases in which there have been convictions, where people have, where this all this information came in and independent information about what was being done or alleged to be done fraudulently or wastefully or abusively. And we said, okay, you've gone out and you've convicted some of these people. How much money was involved in all this? It was less than $3 million, not billion, $3 million. $3 million out of $480 billion in contracts, grants, loans, and entitlements that were obligated. No matter which way you cut it, the fraud so far has been remarkably low, less than a fraction of a percent. And don't just take my word for it. An article in Time magazine with a headline, "It's official. Stimulus isn't a waste of money." It goes on to say the stimulus was, quote, "clearly, managerially successful, on schedule, under budget, and, according to independent investigators, remarkably free of fraud." And it was. And it is. And we did it while keeping our promise to create and save jobs, creating and saving more than 3 million jobs. In fact, without the transparency, without the public trust it engendered, I don't think we would have been as successful in creating the jobs we did. I think they're intricately linked to one another. And as I said before, this whole model was designed as a model. That's hopefully, if it worked as well as it did in the Recovery Act, we could then apply it government-wide, take it government-wide. Well, that's what we're here. We're institutionalizing the methods we used and making them part of a new culture, hopefully. We're going to hit every corner, track every dollar. We're going to do it in a couple ways. The first thing we're doing again now is to deal with every future government program that writes those checks. The first and most important thing we're going to do is form a new oversight board modeled on the Recovery Board that was such a success the last couple of years. And this is going to apply to everything. The Oversight Board will be looking at all government spending, every dollar. And once again, we're asking the man who put the recovery board together to help us again. We're asking Earl Devaney. He's going to be working with Jack Lew, the budget director, and his team to set up this board. And we're also working with leaders of both parties, Senator Lieberman and Collins, Coburn and Warner, Congressman Issa and Cummings. They're all on board with the idea of making this this government-wide. The idea is simple. Taxpayers should be able to see exactly what their tax dollars are buying and trace the progress of the work under the government programs, just like they did under the Recovery Act. There's no reason it shouldn't be that way for all these programs. And they should be able to have confidence that their dollars are not being lost to waste, fraud, and abuse, just like I hope they've now gained confidence that that's exactly what happened. It did not happen in the Recovery Act. The kind of online tracking of dollars you can now see in recovery.gov and the cutting-edge technology used to prevent fraud by the Recovery Board can and should be applied, as we said, government-wide. The best inspector generals, the best chief financial officers from the agencies, many of whom are in this room today, we're going to bring all of them in to serve with this board. Second, we're insisting that every federal agency is focused on transparency and accountability. And toward that end, the bad news for the cabinet members is I'm going to be continuing to hold these cabinet meetings on a regular basis. Actually, I think they enjoy it as much as I do because they are as focused on it. Unless waste and fraud and transparency are at the top of your agenda as a cabinet member, it's not going to get done. There's too many other tugs and pulls on your performing your job. And so we're going to continue the same process we had during the Recovery Board, probably not as frequently. They were about once a week, probably not as frequently. But we found before in the Recovery Act what works best is to set explicit goals for each and every department and then to report regularly to me so I can report to the president on how it works. There's nothing like accountability, man. It sure focuses your attention. I never thought I'd pay this much attention to Recovery Board. I never thought I'd pay this much attention to a single piece of legislation passed, and then the president announced to the whole world, Sheriff Joe's responsible for this. I knew that meant if there were fraud, it was my fault. It's amazing. My father used to say, accountability works really well, Joey, especially when you're in the bullseye. Well, let me tell you, we're all in the bullseye. It worked before, and I think it's going to work here, all with an eye toward creating the most transparent, official federal government in our lifetimes. All in all, we've already made progress. We're already seeing results even before this had been put in place government-wide. In each of the first 2 years in office, we've identified approximately 120 areas to streamline or to cut, saving $20 billion thus far. We've changed the way the federal contracting works, as Jack referenced. There's a great deal of waste and redundancy in federal contracting. One in every six federal dollars spent, hundreds of billions of dollars is for contracts the federal government signs with a private entity. There's significant waste, particularly in no-bid contracts, and that's why OMB has been so focused on it. We successfully cut contracting costs for the first time in 13 years last year, saving $15 billion over the period, and we cut those no-bid contracts by nearly $5 billion. We've also cracked down on improper payments, which is when the government sends a check to the wrong person, the wrong amount, or for the wrong reason. It's outrageous waste, and after years of neglect, we're beginning to focus on it because, as old Willie Sutton said, that's where the money is. There's a lot of money there. Just last year, we avoided nearly $4 billion in improper payments and recovered more than $600 million of those that were improperly paid, and we got them back. Everyone knows we waste billions of dollars on federal property, federal buildings we don't need, half-empty billions, multi-million-dollar properties that have sat vacant for literally years. There's a million-square-foot warehouse in Brooklyn. It's been empty for 10 years. And it cost tens of thousands of dollars just to keep it empty. I mean, just to maintain it, it costs tens of thousands of dollars a year. So, in addition to not wasting money keeping a building that is empty out there, we also made money in selling the building. We sold it. there are buildings like this all over the country, and we put forward a proposal to cut through the red tape and finally get rid of tens of thousands of unneeded federal properties that are on the books. The combination of savings of the cost of maintaining them, as well as the cost of the benefit of selling them, we expect to save this year $15 billion. Folks, I could go on. Let me say, this is not the answer to our long-term economic problems worldwide and solving the multi-trillion-dollar accumulated debt, but it is really, really important. It's about changing the attitude about how we do business. We're absolutely convinced that there are billions and billions of dollars out there that we can save just by focusing harder on this stuff, just by doing our job, and we need to look harder at savings. The President put me in charge of working with the Democrats and Republican leaders in the House and the Senate to reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over 12 years. Those talks are going on. I believe we will meet that objective. We're talking about here today is cutting waste. It's not going to solve, as I said, the $4 trillion problem, but guess what? If we institute it now and we do it well, it will be left for every future administration, and we will save over time hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that heretofore have been wasted. And it will also instill a sense of trust. I hope it will change the culture. That's what we're committed to. We're committed to continuing to attack this problem, but fundamentally, it's not the new sophisticated technology Earl and his counterparts are using. It's not merely this relentless focus on how we're going to save more money. It's about changing the culture of the way we do business in the federal government, Democrat and Republican administrations, for as long as I have been here. It's never been viewed up to now as that essential, but it is essential. It's billions and billions of dollars, and it's about a culture that hopefully will permeate not just the federal government, but state governments as well. So the very people sitting up here in the front are the people who are going to have to be hearing me and meeting with me and working with me for the next as long as we're here. And I'm confident we can do a good job for the taxpayers, because I am certain we've done it already. And so I want to thank everybody for taking the time to be here, and I look forward to working with Jack and Earl as they come up with the new oversight board and the cabinet members who are as committed to this as I am. Now, God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you very, very much for taking the time to be here today. Appreciate it.